Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Dark Hearts.
Hey, hey.
It's May.
Hey, hey, it's May. It's going to be May. Yeah.
It's going to be May.
And it's May. All righty. Here we go. May.
Yeah. You guys, thanks for letting us take a break last week. Not that you had a choice. We did it. But thanks for not being assholes about it.
Yeah. Just much needed. But we're back now. And it's the beginning of the month. And so
I know.
I'm glad that, well, I don't know. It's been windier than ever. I feel like right now in Nebraska, I don't feel like it's ever been this windy
in spring.
Like ever.
Sunday was horrible. Yesterday was smidgen better, maybe. Today seems like we're slowly getting down with the wind.
I hope so. Because I've been sitting out in softball the past 2 days. And I have to again tonight. And it's like so windy. And the dirt's just flying. It's so gross.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at. But at least it's not snow, I guess, on the upside of things.
Yeah. My husband took our son to soccer practice and took our daughter with. And apparently she was out for a little while. And like they were messing around with her soccer ball while he practiced. And then she was like, Daddy, it's cold. Let's go sit in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. It's brutal. If that wind wasn't out there, it would be like perfect spring weather, but we're not there yet. So we can still bitch about it because
listen, I'll always find something really to bitch about.
Yeah. Especially, anything weather related, I'm going to find something. It's either too hot or too cold or too windy or too.
I know. It's like we get like two or three perfect days and then the rest are just assholes.
Uh huh. Good old Midwest. Heartland, I guess you could say.
Yes, yes. Oh, the heartland. But you guys also, so for May, it is Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. So, you know, we try to do cases for that. I got thrown off, so my case isn't this week, just with us taking off. I keep blanking that it's May. I was talking to someone and I was like, oh, yeah, I got to see something, a comic that I want. Comes out and I was like, oh, it comes out in May. I got to see. And I was like, it is May. Oh, it comes out tomorrow, which is today when this comes out, actually. So I was like, oh, yeah. So I've been confused on,
I know,
on what day it even is. But if you guys have stories you know of, please send them our way. As always, any true crime stories, survival stories, anything like that, that is anyone of a minority is so much harder to find because everyone just covers the white cases. So if you guys have any that you know of, please send them our way.
And also on that note, I would like to share that we had added on our website now too. There is actually a link on there. If you prefer to not email us or message us that way, you can click on a link and submit your story that way. So
good call.
I only remembered that because when I opened my computer, it was still open on my screen. So that is why I remembered that. But yeah, if that's like super easy, you just fill out a couple things and it sends it to us. So if that's easier for you to do it that way, you can also do it that way. Or if you just want to check out our website, do that too. There's more plug. There you go.
There you go. There you go. And our website is always linked in our show notes. And now there's so many things to do there.
Also
with May, shout out to our patrons.
Yeah.
Do you want to start?
Yeah. Leslie, you're the best. Thank you. Thank you.
Are we going
usually
back
do
and
mine?
Forth?
I don't know if you, I didn't know. Know. We like, didn't discuss that.
I was going to say, maybe we should have discussed this. Jazzy. Thank you.
Yes.
We appreciate you.
Yes, we do. Jill. It's my girl. Thank you, Jill. You're the best.
Rocky. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Louise, what do we got to say? You're the best. We just love you to death.
You're so sweet. And then Laurel, thank you so much. I know she's getting ready to do her own little, she's traveling all 50 states for her art stuff. So
that's fun.
Yeah.
Good for you. Cool.
Yeah. You guys, we have so much to cover. Also, update to the Leslie Arnold case that I covered back in January. Is that what you said?
It was like the first one of January we did.
Okay. So for those of you, brief refresher, it was the 60s and he murdered his mom and dad because his mom was controlling, maybe wouldn't let him go on a date. So
it was in Omaha too, which is,
oh yes, that just I because said,
no, I mean, you're fine. I just think it's crazy because it was, you know, here.
And, you know, he went for a week without anyone knowing and lived his life and was caught. And then he served time in jail. And when he was close to getting out, being released even, he escaped. And they never found him. They, you know, they knew he at one point went to Chicago, but then they weren't sure. They thought he went to, I think, Brazil, something like that.
He was like all over the place. He ended up in Australia, right? At some point, too.
I'm getting a recap.
Oh, I didn't know you were going through all the states and countries. Okay.
No, I'm just
go ahead.
But yes. So anyways, long story short, turns out he actually didn't leave the United States for quite some time. He went to Chicago, like they thought, became a dishwasher, but then married a waitress who already had like 4 kids and was married to her for a hot minute. I think they moved to like Minnesota or I don't know. They moved somewhere else for a bit. And then they moved to like San Diego or something, or Florida. I don't know. I think they were in Florida at one point.
He was like all over the place.
He was all over the place. And then I don't know. They got separated eventually or something. And then he got married again.
Mm-hmm.
And something spooked him, I guess. And so he cut ties with his stepdaughters and had a very distinctive mole removed from his face and moved with his second family overseas, first to New Zealand in 1992 and then Australia in 97. So this man was still here for a long time. So yeah, so he moved to Los Angeles in 77, divorced, remarried, fathered his own children in his 40s, and then moved to Australia. And so while he was living in Australia, he passed away on August 6th of 2010 due to blood clots. His son said he was like a very charismatic, it says patriotic man, but I was like, patriotic to what country? Like,
right, yeah. You've been all over the place, man.
You've been all over the place, like to the US, to Australia. Yeah. I don't know. And that he like loved science and, you know, technology. And he said he remembers him as a doting father who raised his kids with love and music. But his stepdaughters are like, yeah, actually, he was kind of a strict douche. I'm paraphrasing. But which is funny because his whole thing for murdering his mom was that she was so strict.
Yeah.
Also, how are you going to be in these girls' lives for so long and take on a father figure and just be like, well,
yeah, peace. This was a lot about. Yeah. How he was as a human being.
So, I mean, like, I get why his son, you know, but, like, they had no clue. And so, did it say in here how they found out? Like, I think some
It was DNA? Some DNA connection between someone that was related to him. And
yeah.
I can't remember. It was a long story for those of you that are, well, anyone can look it up online on the Omaha World Herald, I guess, but.
You probably have to do a subscription, maybe. But anyways, so, the thing is, he never had any, like, he had some minor traffic stops, but, like, he never got in trouble again. But they don't know what it was, like, how that, like, if he went to Brazil just to throw them off and filled out that, you know, because I talked about at the end how they found that document with him coming into the country, or if he had someone else go there and do that for them. Like, they still don't know. But that was clearly just a red herring. And it's, like, so shitty because this man got off scot-free. Like,
yeah. He lived a full life.
Yeah.
And I saw in the article too, did you see how it said like he was a really good saxophone player or something?
And then stopped playing.
Yeah. Yes. Because his son or something was like really good and he didn't want it to be connected to him or
so
something. I just
still never
read that.
Yeah. Cause they talked about
it's
that
crazy.
Because that was one of the things we talked about in the thing was that he played the sax even in the prison band.
Yeah.
And he was so into like Elvis and stuff. But yeah, even when his son started playing the saxophone, like he never alluded to the fact that he could play or anything, which I'm like,
that's pretty wild.
I was like a lot of people played the trumpet.
That's true. Yeah. Like you're not going to just say, oh my gosh, you must be related to so and so.
Yeah.
You know, like
are you Leslie Arnold, you play the trumpet? Are you Leslie Arnold? Because then he was also going under the name, John something or other, which of course, because.
Oh yeah,
because
he had different aliases, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah. So.
I thought
maybe I
should
have
too.
Actually written these things down instead.
It's okay.
Of, you know.
I mean, it's a, you know, touching on it. Like, and I don't think you need a like subscription to read it because I pulled it straight up on my web browser. Okay. And I was kind of wondering the same thing, but I bet even if you couldn't read it, if you just Googled his name, I'm sure there'll be other articles linked to
that you could read. We can share this article, or I can at the very least put it in the show notes. But yeah, we could probably share that article. That's a good idea. Since it's an update.
That's pretty crazy that, like, the fact that he's been dead for over 10 years now, and it's just now coming out.
And then it's funny, though, too, because I think I even mentioned that I was like, wouldn't it be crazy if one day, like, someone does, like, a DNA test and they find out they have cousins or something in Australia or in Brazil? Yeah. Because I said Brazil, because I'm like, this man was young. Like, there's no way he didn't have a family or something. Right.
Yeah.
And here we are, like DNA did do it. And it's weird that it came out like this just came out a few months after we did that case.
I know. That's why I was like, when she was trying to tell me the case, I said, wait, is this, you know, and I explained it. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, I just did that, which to me just could be like yesterday or 5 years ago. But January is still pretty recent, really, for doing it. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So that was really interesting. I know you sent that to me, and at first I was like, why are you sending me this?
I know. That's why I was like, I was trying to tell you, like, I sent it before I typed my message, and I was like, she's going to be like, yeah, I know. Thanks.
Yeah, we did this, Shannon.
Yeah.
I talked about this for a minute, remember?
Sure do. And I did, for the record, because I remembered to tell her.
True.
She was so cute and excited about it. I was like, yes, we do know that story.
What's really funny, though, too, is actually on Friday, I went and was doing some massages for a couple I do in-home massages for, and I brought this case up about how, like, oh, they never found him on all this. We don't know. And so then you sent me that over the weekend. I was like, holy shit.
That's weird. Yeah.
Yes.
That's crazy. I know my friend, when she told me, she said the reason she knew mostly about it is because her parents at that time were, like, in their prime when that murder happened. And so they said they followed it. It was so crazy. So for them, it was like just bringing back all these memories, you know? And I was like, that is pretty crazy to think about, something that you probably just thought would never, like, be solved so close to home. And then boom.
DNA solving everything these days.
It sure is. DNA doesn't lie. What was that one of?
Yeah. DNA don't lie.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. It was. That's right.
Something like that. I don't remember, but yeah. So there's that update.
Yeah, that's a great update.
Yeah.
Closure, sort of, for people.
Yeah, and then we're about to go into a not great story.
Perfect. Also great.
Also in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Also, this one's in the 80s, but also older. So several people have actually brought this up to us on different occasions. Angie recently emailed and reached out about it and stuff too. So I was like, okay, so many people keep asking about this. Like,
yeah,
let's cover this.
Yeah.
There wasn't as much information as I would have thought there would be on it. And some of it was slightly contradictory and stuff. There was a Forensic Files episode, which you can watch on Peacock, and it was season 4, episode 7 called Ties That Bind. And that came out in 1999, you guys.
That feels like that was like 10 years ago when you say that. I'm like, oh yeah, just, you know, 10 years ago.
Until you watch it and you're like, oh my God, this takes me back to like watching videos in high school, you know, when they brought out the big tube TV and it was the best thing ever.
They wheeled it in, on the cart. Okay.
Watching it, I was like, this was our TV, and it reminds me of like when I used to watch Nick at Night. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I would watch like I Love Lucy and stuff. I'm like, I already feel like it's like great technology's come so far, but damn, this makes me feel old.
Sure does. Stuff like that does not seem like it should be as old as it is, you know? But like, yeah, all you have to do is watch it, and then you're like, oh yeah, I am that old. Like,
Yep. Which I also didn't realize. One, I realize, like, I've known what Forensic Files is, but I don't think I ever actually watched it.
Yeah, I know. I meant to message you back about that as well, which touch on it now, obviously. Yeah, but
because, so if you decide to watch it and you've never, I guess I don't know, do they always show crime scene photos in Forensic Files?
I think they do. I think because I remember being somewhat traumatized in the past. Like, oh, we're going that route. Okay.
So I was not prepared for that. So trigger warning if you watch it. Also trigger warning for this episode. It is, the victims are all young children. Yeah, sick. All of a sudden they're talking about some of the wounds on one of the victims and they show it. And I was like, oh God, which I mean, thank God it was 1999 graphic, like technology. Yeah. So it's not as crystal clear as it would be today.
But still, the fact that could just be shown, I know.
And I was like, they give you no warning at the beginning of the episode or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I would hope nowadays in the newer episodes, they probably do.
Yeah. I feel like this day and age, so much has changed. Yeah. They probably do, hopefully. Like,
did you ever watch the HBO documentary about the West Memphis Three?
I don't think so. That one I have not seen.
It was good. But again, in the very beginning, no warning, they show you the nude deceased bodies of the young boys. And like, it's not super zoomed in or anything, but I'm like, that was not necessary in any way, shape,
and it's like kind of just disrespectful. Like, I wouldn't.
That was like, other aspects of it were well put together, but that, like you said, I was like, that wasn't necessary. Why would you? That's not how we need to remember these young boys. That was such a horrible time. Like, why?
I mean, and I get HBO kind of like breaks the barrier with their stuff, but like, that's still too far. It's not like it's a fictional movie that you're just creating a scene, but that's real life people that, have family.
Yes. So I realize I don't think I've actually said what I'm covering. I'm covering the case of John Jubert. He was also known as like the Boy Scout killer. So John himself was born on July 2nd, 1963 in Lawrence, Massachusetts. And I mean, heads up, this is another one of those episodes I'm doing where it starts in one place, but it all ends up in Nebraska. Yeah. So when he was around 6, his parents got divorced, and at some point he ended up in Maine. I don't know. There's some mixed stuff about his mom. Like, it sounds like maybe she was a bit controlling. I mean, they always blame the mom. Let's be honest.
Always.
Maybe she was, but like, come on.
Of course. It was mom's fault. Always is, right?
Right. And it says on how like he wasn't allowed to see his dad or whatever. I was like, well, maybe your dad was a shitty person and she was protecting you.
Right.
Let's like not, what, like, we don't know.
They don't tell the whole thing. You just hear the part of what a horrible person she was, and you know.
Right. And so like one article I read talked about how his like sadistic tendencies actually started to come out around the age of 6. And he like told a psychologist or something about how he used to fantasize about murdering his babysitter and about torturing her and eating her. And I'm like, six?
Okay. Yeah. What was he watching or exposed to?
Right? Gosh. I was like, how does a 6-year-old? I'm like,
sick.
Yeah.
That's a little disturbing.
But like, I guess like he also felt isolated and stuff. And so he joined the Cub Scouts, which he eventually made it all the way up to being an Eagle Scout, which is the highest rank you can get in the Eagle Scouts.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think a ton of people actually make it that far. Cause I remember when I was in high school, someone in my class, he did, and it was a whole big deal, which also small town life.
I know. I know a couple people too that it was like a big thing. Like,
But I think he was like one of the only, maybe there was two of them. I don't know. I was like, I don't remember. Anyways, so it sounds like around the age of 13. So this is starting to get really weird. So he starts to become a bully as a kid or whatever. But it says like when adults were around, he was really charming and charismatic. So it's like, okay, so he's a sociopath.
Right.
But it sounds like around the age of 13, he stabbed a young girl with a pencil, but he didn't get caught for that. Like, this is the weird thing. So then, like, through this whole time frame, like, it sounds like after the 13 to this other time frame, like, he started, like, he slashed another girl with a knife while he was on his bike and also didn't get caught for that. And he, like, beat and strangled a young boy.
What? Yeah. Okay, all alarming signs.
Right. So I guess at some point, so his first victim was killed in 82, and 2 years prior in Oakdale, Maine, there was the Oakdale slasher. So some of these things, I don't know where that fell into and stuff. John will later be connected to the Oakdale slasher. He will admit it. But at the time, no one knows who he is. And there's actually in Forensic Files, they talk about this and how there was a young girl slashed with a knife and also a young boy who was 9 at the time. And his name was Michael. And they actually interview him in the Forensic Files. And he talks about how this young man, he said late teens, early 20s, skinny white man, lured him over to this wooded area, was asking him questions like his name, his age, where he lived, and all this. And then he was like, okay, you can go. And as he turned around, John slit his throat from behind. Now, Michael escaped, but if it had been much deeper, like, I don't think it needed, if it would have gone just slightly deeper, he probably would have died, but he needed, like, 12 stitches and stuff. So, you know, he...
Traumatics.
Right. So he gives the police a description and they make up a sketch, right? But it goes nowhere. So then fast forward, we're now August 22nd of 1982 and we're in Portland, Maine. At first I got confused because I thought we were in Portland, Oregon, and all
that. I know.
We get all these places.
That always confuses me when I hear that,
but
too.
But it's Maine. And so we have 11-year-old Ricky Stetson. He went out for a jog on a local running trail around 8 p.m. And I was just thinking, I was like, oh my God, times were so different in the early 80s that you're like,
oh yeah,
11-year-olds going, also going out for a jog at 11?
Yeah. No, no.
Damn. But so he went out for a jog on this. It's a local trail. Everyone was there. It sounds like a lot of people were kind of there because witnesses recall seeing him jogging the trail, and then followed closely behind him was a young white man riding his bike. And Ricky never returned home. So the next day, his body was found along I-295. Unfortunately, and this is, like I said, this gets a little gruesome. Poor Ricky had been brutally beaten, strangled, stabbed, and even bitten over several parts of his body.
Oh.
But the bite, it's going to get worse, sorry. But the bite marks had actually been gouged with a knife, so they couldn't be identified with dental records.
Sick.
And so after witnesses give their description, they were like, this sounds a lot like the Oakdale slasher. So they kind of connect that this is the same person who's clearly escalated. But almost a year goes by. Police are like, hey, we have a suspect. It's this like 21-year-old man. I think his name was Joseph. I didn't write it down because I'm like, Forensic Files tells you it. But I was like,
right.
Okay, but nothing comes up later. Like, why was he a suspect? Because it's very quickly, they're like, hey, it's a year, but we think this guy did it. And then they find out that there's another murder that sounds very similar to Ricky's. And this is in Bellevue, Nebraska.
Well, that took quite the travel there. My gosh. Yes.
So on Sunday, September 18th, 1983, 13-year-old Danny Joe Eberle vanished soon after starting his paper route. It was determined that he only delivered 3 of the 70 papers for his route. And his bike, which was like his pride and joy. The whole reason he even had a paper route, I guess, was so he could like buy accessories for the bike. He kept it looking real nice and sharp.
That's sad and sweet.
Right. So the fact that they then found his bike in front of one of his customers' homes.
Red flag.
They knew something was wrong. And so like his brother said, because I think his brother also delivered papers. And he was like, I didn't see him this morning. But he did mention that he recalled for the last several mornings being followed by a white male in a tan brown car. So 3 days later, Danny Joe's body is found a little ways off a dirt road. It's about 4 miles from where his bike had been found. He was stripped to his underwear. He wasn't sexually assaulted. Not that it makes it much better.
No, nothing makes any of it better, but...
Because they eventually determined that he was tortured before he was killed. So his hands and feet had been bound, and he had been stabbed.
Ugh.
And this is where they showed images, because they talked about there being, like, a star-like, like, gouges into it. Like, it made a star almost on his chest. I think he had also been bitten and then gouged, like those had been gouged again. And so FBI was brought in because of the type of crime this was, because he was kidnapped and then stuff. So I guess kidnappings are FBI. I don't remember. A profiler's brought in, and they said the killer was of slight build because Danny's body wasn't dumped very far from the road. That this was probably his new to the area, because he also didn't hide the body well or anything like that. So probably wasn't very familiar with the area. So this was probably their first kill in the area. And they said that they probably read detective magazines, because stuff like the bite marks being gouged out is addressed in there. As well as the fact, I can't remember, it says in Forensic Files why they say this, but they also determined that he's probably, oh, because like it seems that he likes younger boys, he's probably some sort of like soccer coach, baseball coach, or a Boy Scout leader. And so at both crime scenes, at Ricky's crime scene, they really had nothing. They had these bite marks, but clearly the only thing that gave them was the fact that this, they called it something like a signature, right? With the whole bite marks with it being gouged out. And so now
animalistic, like just ew.
Right. Also, I don't think I mentioned this. Ricky, I don't think was sexually assaulted either. It doesn't sound like any of these boys were sexually assaulted.
Good.
So that's something. Yeah. It's all horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But one other thing about Danny's case is the rope he was bound with was actually really rare and unique. Now on the outside, it looks like just regular white nylon rope, but the core of it was actually 24 different fibers and 106 different colored yarns.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there was even some like rope people they sent it to.
Was Danny the Nebraska kid?
The Nebraska kid.
Okay.
He was the 13-year-old. Yeah.
Okay. Rope people. Yeah. The rope experts coming in.
Yeah, clutch. They did. I don't know. Like it was something. Yeah. They were like, yeah, this shit's weird. We don't know.
Hey, Dark Hearts. We wanted to tell you about one of our favorite products that helps keep you safe and also gives you peace of mind.
She's Birdie is a cool little device that is small enough you can hook it on a keychain, bag, or even just carry it.
There are two different types of birdies. The original birdie, when activated, chirps very loud. Trust me, it's ear piercing. We've tried it. And also has an intense strobe light that helps deter attackers and gets the attention of potential bystanders.
The She's Birdie Plus is a Bluetooth-enabled device that connects to an app on your phone that gives you 24/7 support where live reps are available. It can also send you a fake call to get out of an uncomfortable situation, as well as provide GPS location to your chosen contacts. This birdie does require a subscription you can either pay monthly or annually.
The best part is you can get 15% off your order when you use the code DARKHEARTS15.
Check out shesbirdie.com to see what fun colors and patterns you can purchase.
Stay Heartland kind and be extra Darkland wary with your new birdie.
Yeah. So what kind of experts are you?
Yeah. Study your robes more, thanks.
Right. But yeah, they went through all these things, right? So, of course, everyone, you know, in town is on high alert then. Mm-hmm. Everyone's really scared. Who could this be? So everyone's keeping a close eye on their children, not letting them go out after dark and all these things. Yeah. Unfortunately, despite that, on December 2nd of 1983, 12-year-old Christopher Walden was abducted while walking to school. He lived 8 blocks from school and he was literally like halfway there. And later they'll say they interviewed a woman who she was like, I think I saw him being abducted. And they like hypnotized her and stuff. And like, yeah, she did.
Jeez. Gosh, and Nebraska too. That has to be absolutely terrifying in this tiny town.
Well, and this was in Bellevue again still too.
Yeah. So like, that's crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty bold to be in the same town and doing it again.
And in
that
the
close.
Morning when kids are like walking to school and people are out.
Yeah. Wow.
So 3 days later, his body was found near the same place Danny's was found. His was a little more well hidden, but again, he had similar stab wounds, but he hadn't been bound. He was in just his underwear. I think they find out later from John that Danny listened to him. He got to his underwear, but he wouldn't lay down when he asked him to, and there was a struggle. And so, Christopher actually was killed much sooner. He was killed very quickly after being abducted.
I mean, good in the sense of hopefully there wasn't the torture. I mean, that's terrible regardless, but...
So he was stabbed. His throat was cut so deeply that he was almost decapitated.
Jeez.
So they also see, like, near Chris's body, there are clearly two sets of footprints leading up to the scene, but only one set going away. So they know what happened at this location, you know. And then, unfortunately, like, they don't. But it kind of is just like, they're like, we don't know who did this. Well, then a local woman named Barbara Weaver, who worked at a church daycare, noticed a brown car in a parking in the parking lot. She always got there early to set up and stuff. So this is early morning. And she sees this guy who kind of looks like the composite sketch that's been shown around, because the one of the Oakdale slasher and of Ricky being taken and stuff like that has been circulated. And she's like, this guy looks like him, and this is a brown car. So she starts to write down the license plate number. And I don't know if she went outside to do it in, like, the forensic files. It shows her being inside and looking it up or writing it down. But then I feel like somewhere else it talked about how she was outside. But anyways, so somehow he notices and he approaches her with a knife and threatens her that she needs to give it to him. And so...
Like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, she's not gonna remember. I mean, well...
Yep. So, unfortunately, so this was in... I had to look it up because I forgot to write it down. So this was on January 11th.
Okay.
Of 1984, now at this point.
Okay.
And... Yeah, because so 80, it was 83 when Danny and, Christopher were both killed.
Oh, yeah.
So he tried to attack her. She escapes. She gives the stuff to the police, and, they're able to trace it to John Jubert.
John Jubert. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Yes.
Okay.
And he's actually 19.
That's super young.
And enlisted with the Air Force. So he's stationed at Offutt.
Oh, gosh. That's, I wondered if that was part of it. I didn't know that. Okay.
So shortly after he killed Ricky, he enlisted. And then he got... sent here, and they search his car, and they found one of Danny's hairs in his car, and in the trunk they found rope.
I bet we know what kind of rope this was.
The same. And of course they go through the forensics and they match it up, and you know their forensics at this time is not the same, so they have to like go under a microscope and make sure everything like matches.
That's pretty crazy that they were able to even do that then, though. I mean, in the 80s, like, cool, but that's crazy. And I'm sorry, once again, what a dumb criminal. Like, why would you keep stuff that you've used in your car? Well, I mean,
that they're just stupid. Also, oh, yeah. And also, he was an assistant Boy Scout leader.
Or that's comforting.
Like that. Actually, after he killed Chris and... he went to a group meeting, I don't know, and they were all, the boys were talking about how scary it was, and he was like comforting them and telling them, like, you know, as long as we all look out for each other, we'll be safe and yada yada. And I'm like,
gross,
that's disgusting.
That's really
he
gross.
Pretty quickly admits to all three killings, and that's when he also admits that he's the Oakdale slasher, so they get that confirmed. He does admit that he didn't realize how rare the rope was. He had gotten it as a gift when he became an Eagle Scout. So he didn't know, because at first when I was watching that and they were like, this is so rare, I was like, okay, why would you use the most rare rope if you're gonna do this?
Yeah. Once again, we're not telling you how to get away with murder, but don't use that kind of rope things.
Yeah. Make sure your rope's not super rare. So I'm not going to go into too much. Like, of course, you know, there's appeals and shit. But so he's tried in Maine first for Ricky's murder, and he gets life sentence. I don't think they have the death penalty. Mm-hmm. So then he's back in Nebraska for these. And I think it was like one of the detectives or something asked him, he's like, hey, have you learned your lesson? Like, will you, like, if you were to ever get out again, would you be okay? And he said that he paused and thought about it for a while. And he was like, I don't think so. He's like, I think I would do it again. He's like, I don't think I could help myself.
Okay, well, at least he's honest. Right. Keep him in, throw away the key.
Well, so he was sentenced to death in Nebraska for Danny and Chris's murders. He was actually executed by the electric chair.
I remember. Was he one of the last ones that Nebraska,
With the electric chair, probably. Yeah. So that was on July 17th of 1996.
Oh, wow, yeah.
He was the second person in Nebraska to be executed since the death penalty had been reintroduced in 1973. Uh-huh. But later, when Nebraska was addressing whether or not the electric chair was cruel and unusual punishment, John was brought up because he suffered from a 4-inch blister on the top of his head and above both ears. But I'm also like, he tortured little boys.
Don't care. Yeah, super like, don't care. Once again, like, nah, I don't have any sympathy for child killers. Sorry.
No. So I was like, I'm not really.
It's kind of like an eye for an eye type thing, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, I can't say that I feel bad that he suffered before he died.
Yeah.
When he made children suffer before they died.
Not once, but multiple times too. Yeah. So.
Not to mention the children that he, like, slashed and traumatized, like that Michael kid.
All the other kids that, No.
So, no, I can't. But that's John Jubert. There really wasn't a ton. I try to find more information about the boys themselves. The picture of Ricky Stenson that they share, I don't know if this is, like, when he's younger. Because, one, he does not look 11 in it. He looks like 7 or 8. He's got red hair and freckles.
And that's the,
like,
kid from Maine, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm like, is this what he looked like? Was he a tiny little 11-year-old too?
Possible. Like, I feel like boys don't even really start to grow. I mean, they like shoot up later, it seems like. So that's really sad.
Unless they're my children who are just born giants.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
My son is already up tall to my chest.
And is he's 9. Gosh. That's crazy. Mine's like, mine's super short and I don't really foresee her getting much taller, but she's also a girl. So, I mean, that's different genetics, but.
I don't know. My daughter's already almost 4 foot too.
Yeah. She's 4 foot tall
as well, but
yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, those are the kids. I'll post pictures of the victims. I don't know if I'll post John's picture. I might even post, if I can find Michael's picture from the Oakdale slasher stuff. So that's John Jubert. That was a scary time in Nebraska. And, you know, they were talking about, and of course it was in the 90s, like the police officer was talking about how, like, oh, you know, I hear Mother's Day talking about how they don't trust letting their kids go out by themselves and all these things. And I was like, I mean,
I'm like, this is why back in the 80s, it all began. I mean, and even before that, stuff like this happened, you just didn't hear about it as much.
Right,
so.
Because you didn't, like, news wasn't as, you know, police departments couldn't communicate as easily, and we couldn't communicate as easily. I always find it funny when people are like, back in my day, this stuff didn't happen. It's like,
it actually did. You just didn't know about it.
It happened a ton. You know how many serial killers there were
in
the 70s and 80s?
That was their prime time.
So much more.
Yeah, like, if you're going to do it, that was your time to shine.
That was the time to do it, because now, I mean, look, we had that California serial killer, but he was caught pretty quickly.
Yeah. This day and age, with all the technology available and
social media,
word gets out really quick.
It does. You can't be a serial killer in this day and age.
No. The other day I was talking to someone and we were talking about kids like playing outside, and I was like, listen, if you want to call me a helicopter parent, that's fine. Because I was like, I'm not letting my kid play outside by herself, you know? And she kind of laughed and I was like, but really? I'm like, wasn't it not that long ago that the FedEx guy, which, I mean, there was more to that story, but still.
Yes.
But I'm like, still. Do you know how easy it is for someone to drive by, grab your kid, and drive off? Like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no.
I've just recently started letting my kids play in the backyard by themselves, but that's because we have a privacy fence.
Yeah. And that's different because you can keep a better eye on them and it's not, I mean, yeah, different with that. I'm like, if my daughter has a friend with her and they're playing in the front or whatever, I'm okay with it if they're together, but.
Right. I was going to say, I let my son walk down the block to the neighbors to play with those kids. Cause then it's usually at least two or three of them, you know,
yeah,
there's usually a grouping of them and stuff like that. And I mean, my son, I think I've made pretty self-aware of.
I know we're that way too. I'm like, when my daughter leaves her like the neighbor's house, I'm like, you have to let me know when you're leaving. Cause I will come out and watch you. Cause I'm like, I know it seems like a block isn't that far, but I'm like, no. That's exactly how that happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So when I see it's about time, I'm looking down there. And then if he's not, I text the mom and I'm like, hey, is he picking up? Does he know? Yeah. Did he lose track of time?
I know. That's literally life over here too. I just feel like, you know, better safe than sorry, because it's the one time that you're going to be lenient and think it's fine that something's going to happen. So
yeah,
I told my daughter too, I was like, listen up, you know, we have a true crime podcast. We are going to be very smart about all the things and we're going to be overly cautious and overly paranoid. And I'm sorry, but that's just the world we live in. And that's just, it's never going to probably, and I'll just get more paranoid the older I get probably.
So right. It's fine. For sure. For sure. But on a lighter note, what have you been watching or reading?
That's a really good question. What have I read a book that wasn't that great.
That's always disappointing.
And then I started a new book and I'm just, I mean, not even enough to share yet because I like haven't really got into it. But
fair.
TV, Saint X, I think. Did I tell you about that the other day?
You did. Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's on Hulu. I still need to watch it. Have you started Love and Death yet on HBO with Elizabeth Olsen? It's the candy story.
No, that's right. You told me about that. I need to reactivate HBO. I go through these weird spurts when there's a show that I like to watch. I watch it, but then like lately there's been nothing on there that I wanted to watch. And I was like, okay, so I like deactivate it. And then when a show comes out, I reactivate, which I need to anyways, because another show is coming on there soon that I want to watch. So I'll probably do that soon. So no, I have not watched that, but I watched Firefly Lane, which I love that show. Season 2. It's on Netflix. Familiar. It's really good. It's like a drama type. I don't even know how to describe it without giving stuff away, but it's good. Okay. But that's about it. I just, you know, haven't had a lot of time for myself. Yeah. But what about you?
I told you about, I watched Marianne on Netflix, which if you like horror,
I have it on my list. I'm kind of scared.
Oh my God. It's so good. It's in French, but it's Netflix. You can watch it dubbed. If you're so inclined that I can't. I'll watch it subtitled because I will just get distracted by the mouths. The
voices are terrible too.
But that was so good. I've read a lot lately actually, but, the most recent one I was kind of telling you, I read The Exorcist's House.
Oh yeah. That's the one you told me about. Yeah.
I kind of briefly told you about, you would hate it because it's got demons.
I don't mess around with that. Nope.
Everything I wanted in a horror novel though. Like it pulls you in right from the beginning. Anyone who wants to read it, I will just let you know now, the dog lives. Don't worry.
That's the most important thing.
That
I don't care about the people. Tell me about the dog.
Nope. I came across this book on TikTok and it even specifically said dog lives. And I was like, good, because I read The Deep by Nick Cutter, which everyone was raving about. And it was fine. Like it was good, but like the dog dies in it. And I understand why the dog dies in it. But it was excessive. Like the scene dragged out longer than it needed to.
No.
And that kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah. I'm already like, nope.
Nope.
Not reading that one then.
But I've started now Rock, Paper, Scissors that you gave me and my cute little stamp that.
Did you stamp your books yet?
I stamped the book you gave me.
Yeah, there you go. I know. I was like, some of the ones that I would give away or I wouldn't read again, or, you know, I'm like, I definitely wouldn't do that. But I wish I would have started doing that because I have so many people that have different books of mine right now and I don't know who has what. And it's kind of giving me a little bit of anxiety. So
I know I almost need like a log. Like this person
check
took
them
this
out.
Book on this date.
And there are late fees. Thank you.
Right. Right. It's a good way. I know. I let someone at work borrow one of my Kate Alice Marshall's most recent book that came out that I love, and found out yesterday when I was at work, which was Monday, that was her very last day. And I literally said, I'm going to need my book. Like, you're going to have to give me back my book at some point. She was like, oh, yeah, I will. I got your number. I was like, okay, I'm going to need it. Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you about that in a bit.
Wow. That's nope. Yeah. You just can't trust. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I feel a little annoyed with, I'll tell you all about that later. Yeah. I don't know who all listens to this, so I'll just keep it to myself. But
Yep. So yeah, so I have let a few people, and I did back a few months ago, I recalled some of my books because I had a few people at work who had several, and I was like, hey, I'm organizing my books and I'm going to need these back. You can borrow them again when you're ready to read them. But
yeah, but in the meantime, which I do have two of your books, by the way, still too, just so you know. And I think about every day telling you that I still have them so you don't think I'm hoarding them and like,
oh, keeping... but those are the ones that I got last spooky season, right?
Yeah.
The hotel one and stuff.
Yeah.
Those ones I'm not as worried about. There are certain ones that I know what you mean. Yeah.
Ones that you really connect with that are like favorites. Mm-hmm. I get it. Yep. That's why I bought you that stamp, because I was like, I know how it is. I want that book back. Yeah. My name's in it. So you try to sell it.
Right. So yeah. So those ones that you have, like, they were fun reads, but like, I got them cheap at Target and I'm like, not that worried about them. So.
Well, I will get them back to you. Just so you're aware, they're on my to read shelf. And I'm actually going through those right now, because I'm like, I need to stop spending money on books and just read the ones I have that I haven't read. So.
I did snag Kindle Unlimited for right now because they had 2 months for just $4.99 for the 2 months.
Nice. Okay. So there, like, you go.
$4 for 2 months altogether is much cheaper than me buying books constantly.
Amen. That is the truth.
So
I know. I mean, and I would like to add to that, some people that borrow books are very good about it. I have a friend that is always really good about, like, I'll bring it back to you, just, you know, and she like brings them back as she finishes them and she's on top of it. But I have some other people in my life.
My sister has several of my books and she's such a slow reader that sometimes I'm like, girl.
I know.
But she did also borrow for a friend. Well, her friend is going to be borrowing. I have a whole manga set. But when she asked me first, I was like, is she trustworthy? Is she going to bend pages? And she's like, Cassie, I wouldn't let her borrow that. I wouldn't even ask you if I didn't think she would take good care of it. Because if she damaged one, I know she'd replace it. I go, fine.
But
you're liable.
Yeah, that's right. If you're vouching for her, I'm going to be checking the references and following up with that.
Exactly. So yeah, you guys, that's where we're at.
Wow.
We should even make like a suggest TVs and books to us thing gosh. Our website. Yes.
We should make a thing on a website. Our monthly picks, Cassie's monthly and mine. That's something I will work on maybe this week.
I know. We got so much now that we actually have a legitimate website. It's like, there's so much we can do with it.
Mm-hmm. There is. So check that out, guys.
Yeah.
Cassie and I met up last week, which was amazing because like we just, it's real hard these days.
We actually saw each other in person, even though we only live how many blocks from each other.
I know. And it was so nice there for like when we first started doing this, because I was like, oh, I see Cassie all the time. Like, we get to hang out all the time. And then we figured out how to do it like not online. In the same place. Yeah, there you go. Online. Thank you. Don't know why I was struggling for words there. But yeah, so I was like, oh, this is so fun. It's good times. Yeah. So
it was nice. And now we've got it figured out, a plan in place. We at least have once a month where we can meet up.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so, because life is busy, especially when you have other small humans to worry about their schedules.
Yeah, totally. So that was like perfect timing, and we knocked out a lot of stuff in just a couple hours.
Yeah.
Had some good food, snacks, whatever.
Coffee is where it's at, you guys. If you haven't coffee.
Yeah.
They have a couple locations in town, right? I only know about the 114th and Dodge one. But
they have one inside Lifegate Church. I know that. And then I think they have another one in Gretna maybe that they're opening.
Okay.
And then, I love Hardy Coffee. I do have to throw that out there because they're my favorite. But Stories is very good too.
Where's Hardy?
Oh, there's a bunch. Well, a bunch. One down in Exarban, or not Exarban, I'm sorry, Benson.
Oh, okay.
It used to be Aromas, if you remember that hearing about Aromas, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They actually just opened one off of Interstate, like 144th and Giles, down that way.
Okay.
And then they have one, hold on, they have like three or four, of course, now I can't think of where they're all at, but I love...
If there's one off of 144th and Giles, the next time I go to my chiropractor, I should go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's that one. Let's see. Oh, there's one on North 30th as well. Okay. And then they have, there's one near the Durham. And I think there's another one too. I'm not sure. I need to look, but they have amazing coffee too, but their locations aren't as like close to us.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, if we're supporting local, I also like them, but Story's so good. And they had a really good, what did I have? The spinach artichoke dip.
Oh yeah.
And they could make it gluten-free for those of you that need that. It was amazing.
That's awesome. My turtle cheesecake was bomb. Oh,
yeah, that looked amazing. So good. And they're just really nice people there. They are. And it's a cool vibe. So
yeah,
check it out, guys.
Heck yeah. Also, while you're checking things out, check out our website at hldlpodcast.com. You can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. But yeah, until next time, guys, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland weary.